Hold your offerings. We'll do them at the end like we do. There'll be ushers at the door. I have, I need to say some things. I'm going to speak very bluntly tonight. One thing that I don't do a lot of is talk about giving. And one of the reasons that I don't do that is a wrong reason. I get so turned off by what I see on TV where everything is about an offering. That has always bothered me. Every anointing is about giving an offering. That just turns me off bad. But if we're going to be true to the Word of God, we have to talk about giving. Jesus talked more about money than he did about the Holy Spirit, than he did about salvation, than he did just about any other thing. He used money to teach parables. There's so many things that have to do with money. The way that we handle money is a reflection of our spiritual lives. Did you know that? Your attitude about money is a direct reflection of your spiritual life. If you're greedy and stingy, guess what? That's a spiritual problem. I just raised to be that way. I just raised in the Depression. I don't care. It's still a spiritual problem. Because we know that everything that we are and everything that we have belongs to God. Okay? So one of the ways that God proves His people is by finances. The least important thing in God's kingdom and God's economy is finances. The highest thing in His economy is people. The highest thing in our economy is finances. It's all about getting ahead. It's all about keeping up with the Smiths and the Joneses. It's about making more money so I can have more stuff. And it's all about the scratch. We like the scratch. Does anybody like money besides... How many of you like money? I didn't say love it. I said you like it. Does anybody love it? Okay. The Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. You think about that. It says the root of all evil is the love of money. And how much that what we see happening today in our economy has to do about fear or greed. Fear or greed. And we get caught up in those kind of things, and they cause us to have a wrong attitude towards God. And we need to realize that all the money that we have belongs to God. Your house belongs to God. If you're a Christian, your car belongs to God. Your children belong to God. You belong to God. You don't even belong to yourself. You belong to God. The Bible tells us to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. You don't have anything in your life that didn't come from God. Everything that you are, everything that you possess has to do with God. You can abuse that. We're going to talk about giving. And I'm probably going to start teaching on giving more. And I'm not going to apologize about it anymore. I'm going to talk about it because it needs to be talked about. And I apologize for not talking about giving. Because us not teaching about giving and the value of giving has caused our church to suffer. And that's wrong on my part. I don't need to be afraid to talk about finances, about tithing, about offerings. I don't need to be afraid to talk about those things. I think you know my heart. I think you know that I'm not a money grubber. This church is all about serving. It's about giving. But if the church is able to give, then guess what? It has to be given too. This church generates no money outside of you. The money that comes into this church, 99.9% of it comes out of your pockets. We have, in the last few years, we have been extremely blessed. We built up a pretty good cushion. We were able to do lots of things. This year has been a tough year. I'll just be honest with you. And this is the dilemma. We grew. I looked at last Sunday, we had 344 people here. That's a yay God. That's the most we've ever had for just a normal Sunday morning service is 344 people. Last Sunday we had 337. The first Sunday we had 30. So every Sunday this year we've been over 300. This time last year we were running in the 270s. So we have increased by 70 people average for the month of January over last year. That's a yay God. That excites me. You say, are you about numbers? Yeah. Because every one of those little numbers are people. And that's more people that we can get the word into, and the more lives that we can change, and the more stuff that we can do. Because we're going to be all about doing stuff. We were blessed in every aspect of the church this year except our giving. We were down $20,000 this year. Now, explain to me how a church grows by an attendance of 70 and we give $20,000 less than we did with the 270. That's hard to explain, isn't it? Some people say, well, it's the economy. I know that there are some people in our church that have taken a decrease in pay. If you've taken a decrease in pay, then that affects your giving. We're going to talk about three kinds of giving in just a minute. There are a lot of attitudes about this, about what's happened to the economy. Some people have become afraid and held back. Some people may have had a decrease in their income, which would cause you to give less if you're a tither. You know, a tithe means what? A 10%. It's not a tithe till it's 10%, because that's what a tithe is. It's 10%. People say, I give half a tithe. No, you don't give half. You don't give half a tithe. A tithe is 10%. Okay. I don't tithe. I give offerings. Well, until you tithe, you don't give offerings. Some people didn't know that. Because God says the tithe comes first, and then the offerings. Well, I don't tithe, I give offerings. No, we'll get into that in a minute. But for some reason, we have, there's three things. Fear, decrease of income, or lack of teaching about giving. And we're going to cure the last one. It's not my job to make you do anything. It's not my job. I'm going to tell you what you should do. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says that you ought to do, but it's still up to you to be obedient or disobedient to what, not what I say, but what the Word says. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, what the Word says. So go with me to Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. Let me say as you turn there that because we have been down $20,000 in our giving, we have had to make some very hard decisions. Number one, we're cutting the Wednesday night meal. We're no longer going to do the Wednesday night meal. Number two, we have cut out salaries. We cut Nancy's salary out. We cut Ashley's salary out, and we're cutting $150 out of my salary a week. That will free up about $35,000 a year. I hope and believe that this will be a temporary thing. I think that we ought to be ahead of where we are last year by $50,000, not behind by $20,000. But we've had to make those cuts because for years we've had a pretty good cushion. But in the month of September, our giving was off for 1 month, $14,000. How many of you could take a $14,000 lick in your checkbook? $14,000, September, our giving was off. This December, our giving was off $11,000. So in 2 months, we took in $25,000 less than we did that time last year. Now, we were able to make some of it up in November. Some of it up, well, only just $3 or $4 in October, but $7,000 in November. But overall, we're behind, or we are down in our giving $20,000. That is not something that we can do and continue to operate like we're doing. So we have made some cutbacks. I do not want to cut out what we do with our children, what we do with our youth. I don't want to cut into any of those things. The giving that we do, and I'm going to share with you about some of the giving that we do. I didn't want to cut any of that out, but we made some tough cuts. And again, I trust that they're going to be temporary, because I believe God wants us to be givers as His people. I had somebody say to me one time about so-and-so needs some help. And they said, after all, that's what the church is for. Well, let me ask you a question. What is the church? It's not the building. It's not the organization. We are the church. And if we believe that the church is for helping people, then guess where it comes from? It comes from the church. See, so, you know, people have the idea that somehow that money appears magically, and it don't. You know, it's not like breaking the loaves and the fishes and it multiplies. That's not the way that it works. What happens is that God blesses you and increases you, and as you are obedient to that, it's a blessing to the church body. Did you know that I would say 85-90% of everything that is given in this church comes back to you in some way? It comes back to you. We have a beautiful facility here that we worship in. The payment on it is $4,800 a month. Somebody want to make a month's payment? Utilities here run a lot. Well, at least I'm going to say $2,500 a month. There's a lot of expenses in doing church. A bunch of expenses. Y'all finding out about how expensive ministry is. Nothing's cheap. And we don't ask for discounts. Don't believe in asking for discounts. We believe that the church ought to exist on the tithes and the offerings of the people who attend it. And that we shouldn't be out there selling flowers or begging the world, you know, selling our junk and trying to raise. Now, we might do some fundraisers for some projects, but for the support of the church and the salaries and the insurance that we pay and everything that is connected with having church, and that comes through tithes. Tithing began in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. Some people say tithing is no longer required because it's part of the law. Tithing began before the law. Now the law picks it up, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look in Genesis 14:14. Now when Abram, that tells you how old tithing is. Abram, this is before he became Abraham. Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, also brought back his brother Lot, his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveth, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the king with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Now somebody said, well, he's the high priest. No, there was not a high priest at this time because there was not a law. This is not the Aaronic priesthood. This is one that predates the law. And he blessed him and said, now notice what he brought out. He brought out bread and wine. What is bread and wine symbolic of? Somebody tell me. What? I hear mumbling, but I don't hear any talking. The body and the blood. So what's the body and the blood part of? And His covenant. That's the word I was looking for. The covenant. It's part of the covenant. Do we believe in covenants? We talk about the old covenant. We talk about the new covenant. When we get married, we're talking about making a covenant between a man and a woman. This is a covenant society. Covenant did not begin with the Old Testament. Covenant was God's ideal. Covenant began in the Garden of Eden. But here is symbolism of the covenant. In fact, we see that Melchizedek is a type of Christ, okay? And He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." Possessor of who? Heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. God Most High. Possessor of heaven and earth. Who owns the earth? God Most High. He owns what? The cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold therein. It's all His. They recognize that here. "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And He gave him a tithe of all." All of the spoil that he had taken, He gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. This is the first time in Scripture that we see the concept of tithe. It was a worship to God for His blessing. A worship to God for His protection. A worship to God for His covenant. It was Abram recognizing that God Most High was possessor of heaven and earth. So when we're talking about the tithe, when a person tithes, that he recognizes something about God. And that is, it all belongs to God. Well, if it all belongs to God and it doesn't belong to us, then what does that make us? Makes us, what's the S word? Steward. We are stewards. What is that? A steward is a manager. When we tithe, we are exercising stewardship. Now, the word tithe means what? Does it mean what you make it mean? No, the word means a tenth. A tenth of what? A tenth of your increase. A tenth of your income. If you make $1,000 a week, then the tithe is what? $100 a week, okay? So this is where the concept of the tithe began. I've heard people say, "I'm not giving that preacher my money." Well, according to this, you're not giving it to preacher. You're giving it to who? Because you're doing what? You're recognizing that He is the possessor of all things, that He owns the heavens and the earth, that He owns you, that He owns all that you have, and obedience says that we give Him tithe. Okay. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. This is the law. The tithe did not begin with the law, but it was picked up by the law. Okay? In Leviticus 27:30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Okay? What does this say about the tithe? First of all, that it is holy. Okay? Do you know what holy means? Let me tell you what the opposite of holy is. Common. Common. Let's say that we have a cup. And it's just a cup, a common. We could use it to drink out of. If our boat gets a hole in it, we can bail water with it. We can go down the creek and we can catch minnows in it. We can use it for a spit cup. It's common. It can be used for many things. But a cup that is holy is one that is set aside for a purpose. Okay? When it says that the tithe is something that is holy, it is and it says it's holy to God. If it's holy to God, then it should be what? Holy to us also, shouldn't it? Our attitude towards the tithe ought to be the same as the Lord's. Lord, You are possessor of heaven and earth. All things belong to You. When I bring the tithe and I give it to the Lord, it is holy to the Lord, and it should be something that's holy to us. Now, I know, and I remember when Kathy and I began tithing. In fact, my dad taught me to tithe. When I was a young boy, I got $1 a week allowance. $1 a week. And in those days, I mean, you could buy a Hershey bar for a nickel. I mean, you could buy, you know, a Coke for 10 cents. You know, a dollar would last a long time. And Dad always taught me, says, now, 10 cents out of that, when you go to Sunday school Sunday, 10 cents of that goes into the offering. Because it's tithing. That's something that belongs to the Lord. That don't belong to you. And I remember when Kathy and I first got married, we started making the decision, what are we going to do? Well, we decided that we were going to tithe. I can remember not making much money back in those days. And making the decision to tithe was one of the smartest ones that I've ever made. I got married in 74, and we began tithing. Now, when we first began tithing, we weren't able to give a whole lot. But you know what? When we gave 10% of everything that we made, in God's eyes, we gave as much as the rich guy who paid tithe on what he made. Because we were doing what God told us to do. And in those days, I didn't make $100. I can remember thinking, boy, if I can ever make $100 a week, I'll be rich. I'll have it made if I can make $100 a week. Wow. Has things ever changed? And I can remember my tithe turning out to be less than probably $10 a week. Now it's over $100 a week. Glory to God. God's blessed me. I was able to give about $9,000 to the church last year. I don't mind telling you. I tithe. I believe in tithing. We weren't the biggest givers by far in this church, but Kathy and I are in the top 10% probably. We believe in tithing. And God has blessed us through the years because we have been tithers. We have got other people in this church that could stand and give testimonies how that God has blessed them because they have been tithers. So, well, do I have to tithe? I get to tithe. I get tickled at Ricky Jones sometimes. He when he comes in, he brings his tithe with him. And he'll say, now, who's praying over the offering this morning? I said, boy, you let her rip when you pray over that offering this morning. I said, I'm putting my tithe in there. And he is adamant and vehement. And he says, I cry sometimes when I make that tithe check out. Not because he's sad because he has to give it. He's so excited that God's blessed him so much that he's able to get it. He told me the other day, he got a 28% raise. Glory to God. Wouldn't you like to get a 28% raise? Whoo! He told me, I've been tithing since 1985. He said, I was tithing when I was a heathen because I knew it worked. Out smoking dope, but sending his tithe to church. Now, how's that? There's a lot of people who are not Christians, who are tithers. They may not tithe to the church. They may give to charity. And they're extremely blessed. They're extremely blessed because they operate the principle of the tithe. But now, the law picked it up and it became a requirement to those under the law. So it says, bring all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or the fruit, because it is the Lord's and it's holy to the Lord. Then verse 32, it says, concerning the tithe of the herd of the flocks, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. God says, you bring the tithe because it's holy to me. And if it's holy to Him, then it ought to be something holy to us. Now let's go to the Malachi verse. Okay? This is the one that people beat people up. And I'm not doing this to beat you up tonight. I'm doing this to teach you. I believe that this time next year, we're going to be talking about what God has done, not only through our physical growth, but through our financial growth too. Now, you should have got excited about that, because some of you need a raise. Does anybody need a raise? I'll take a raise. I mean, I took a decrease. Nancy took a decrease. Kevin and Ashley took a decrease. We're talking about significant, $150 a week. That's a pretty good decrease. You want that to come out of your budget? I'm not looking to back up. I'm looking to go ahead. You need a raise? You want a raise? If God blesses this church, guess where it's coming through? It's coming through you being blessed. It's coming through you being blessed. So we have to learn to make sound financial decisions about tithes, offerings. Now, there's three kinds of giving in the Bible. Let me just go ahead and give it to you so you can write it down. Tithes, which is the tenth. That is the first part, the first fruit, the first 10%. The second one is called the offering. This is something that's voluntary. This is not something that God... Well, I guess he did, because we're going to read the Scripture. And then the third one is alms. What's alms? That's giving to those who are in need. There's a difference. Tithe needs to go where tithe is supposed to go. Offerings just needs to go where offerings are supposed to go. And alms are supposed to go where alms are supposed to go. Some people get that mixed up. Well, I'm mad at the preacher. I'm going to give my tithe to the poor. That's not where it said the tithe goes. Don't get it all balled up. Don't get it all mixed up. If you want to be obedient, do what the Scripture says. And this is where we're going to look at it. Look at Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? This is usually the Scripture where people get beat up. I'm not here to beat you up tonight, but I'm here to tell you the truth. Will a man rob God? This is God talking to the nation of Israel. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? Look at what it says. In tithes and offerings. Not just tithes, but offerings. Does God want us to give tithes? This means yes. Does God want us to give offerings? This means yes. Now, I'm going to say this again. If you are going to be able to do that, then you're going to have to be blessed to do that. I want to destroy a mentality. And I've heard people, Christians, say this. You know what? All I want in life is just enough for me and mine to get by. I don't have to have a lot. I just want enough for me and mine to get by. You selfish thing, you. That is such an inward, selfish attitude. Why? I'm trying to be humble. Can I say it? You're being ignorant. God doesn't want you just to have enough for you. He wants you to have enough that you can give to every good cause. God wants to use your money to be a blessing to other people. Now, you don't have to be stingy and hoard, you know, all that up. You can be a giver. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, I don't want much. Well, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. If you go out and let me say it this way. If you go out and plant a garden, how many of you raise a garden? Anybody raise a garden? Not many anymore. If Wanda goes out and raises a garden, she plants corn. And she puts two kernels of corn in the ground together? Is that the way you do it? I'm not a farmer. You put three? Okay, let's say you put two in there. And you get a plant, and you get a ear of corn, and on that ear of corn, there's two kernels of corn. Now, what's wrong with that? What's that? That's ignorant. Yeah, that's about as ignorant as you saying, all I want in life is just enough for me and mine to get by. What has to happen when you plant the corn? You get increase. Why? Does anybody like corn on the cob? Would you pay $2-3 for an ear of corn if all it had was two kernels of corn on it? How long would that feed you? No, you need to have enough. You know what? You need to have enough to eat and to plant some more so that there can be further increase. So that you can sell or give to somebody else who likes to eat corn too. Where do you think that corn comes from that you buy in the can? It come off the cob. Isn't that true? And it came by the law of increase. The whole earth operates by the law of seed time and harvest. It operates by the law of increase. Now let me say this, that tithing is part of that law of increase. Increase, going forward, is a part of God's plan. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be able to help other people. Can you say amen? It's true. I mean, wouldn't you love to be able to give to every person that you saw that had a need? Well, guess what? First of all, you're going to have to be able to meet your needs. You know what? If you don't pay the electricity, they come and do what? They whack it off. If you don't make the house payment, if you don't make the car payment, what do? They come get it, don't they? So you have to make enough to take care of your needs, but you need enough left over that you can be a blessing to other people around you. And God loves. I mean, the Bible says that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. Okay. Will a man ride God? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes. Everybody say, all the tithes. I wonder what percent of people ought to be tithers in a congregation. All. And it tells them to do what? To bring how much of the tithe? All the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now this is an interesting concept. The Bible says that there, bring the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be meat in the house. Now the meat is a picture of provision. It's a picture of provision. What do we do when we receive the tithe into the storehouse? We count it. Don't we, Miss Gail? And we do something else with it. We use it for provision. We pay bills. We pay salaries. We pay insurance. But we do more than that here. We sow. We give. Can I share some things with you, that some of the things that we do here at the church with your tithes and offerings? See, you know, somebody said, I ain't giving that preacher my money. Well, first of all, I don't see it. I don't touch it. I'm not the one that writes the check. Sometimes I sign them. I don't do any of that. I don't personally get any of your money. I get paid a salary. But you're not giving, somebody, gotta pay the preacher. No, you're not paying the preacher. You're giving to God. If you're paying the preacher, you're doing the wrong thing. You need to be giving to God, and you need to be doing it with the right attitude. You need to be doing it because you recognize that God is the possessor of heaven and earth, and he has looked down and graced you and blessed you with what you got. And when we bring the tithe to him, we're saying, God, I thank you for these blessings. And Lord, I recognize that you are the owner, and I give back to you that which is holy. The tithe, the first fruit. Okay. But I want to share with you some of the things that we do with the tithe. And I may miss some things. First of all, we fund the children's ministry, what Nancy does, the Sunday school ministry, the Awana ministry. We fund U-Turn Junior. Of course, we pay, we make the building payments and all of that. But I'm talking about ministries that we fund. But here's some things that we reach out with. Number one is FLOW, Family Life Outreach. Now, we're not doing FLOW this time because, honestly, we're behind. We're about $2,000 in the hole in FLOW. And that's why I asked a few weeks ago for some partners to help us with flow, so that all of it doesn't just have to come out of our general budget. See, some people say, you know what? The little bit that I give does not matter. Let me show you an illustration. Now, we had a bunch of people here Sunday morning. If 20 people in our church cut back their giving $20 a week, you know what that amounts to? $20,000 a year. That's what we were behind last year. 20 people who gave less, $20 less a week, that's $20,000. What would happen if some people who are not tithing, and I don't know who tithes and don't, so don't look down. I'm not looking at you and say, you know, Ricky Jones doesn't tithe. Well, I know he does, but he tells me he does. But I don't know who gives and what they give and don't unless you tell me. I don't know. I don't really want to know because I don't want you to think I'm looking at you. But you know what? If 20 people, their tithe was $50 a week, 20 extra people started tithing that wasn't, and that's $50 a week, that's $1,000 a week. That's $52,000 a year. It's amazing how every little bit that we give adds up and multiplies and matters in the overall scheme of things. And sometimes it's easy for us to get lax with our giving. We don't need just sporadic giving. We need consistent giving as a church. Clockwork giving as a church. Because the expenses go on. We do family life outreach. The Flow program, which is a ministry where we work with the courts. Oh, man. We work with the courts. And we help families that are having family issues. And we teach them how to communicate and how to be a family together. We don't charge them anything. We feed them. We teach them. We love on them. We help their kids. We do, and that's one of our outreaches. Another one that we started back in October is Celebrate Recovery. We've had 200 people come through Celebrate Recovery since we began. We've had people saved. In fact, we're going to baptize Sunday morning. We had people saved through Celebrate Recovery. We had somebody saved Sunday morning that has started coming to Celebrate Recovery. That's a yay God. By the way, I was going to tell you, Alan Brown's church voted to buy the property. They voted for it. Yay. One of the other ministries that we support, and this is something that Wings does, but Wings is, I mean, that's the church, is the Christian Help Center. And that's a program that helps people get drugs that they can't afford. Now, we're talking about the prescription drugs, antibiotics, and the drugs that they need. That's a ministry in Heber Springs. So we help that ministry by support, monthly support. And you know what? They depend on us to give that monthly support. You know, if we cut our support off, then that's that much money less a month that they have to help people get the drugs that they need. Batesville Help and Hope, which is a feeding program. We've supported them for a long time. And every month we send them money. And they give people food that otherwise would be hungry. Do you know how many kids in this county go hungry? It's amazing that kids, that the only time they get a meal is when they're at school. When they go home from school, they don't eat again until they go back to school. You would be surprised how many people there are who are hungry. Well, we help remedy that to a degree. Another one is the Alpha Pregnancy Center. Is another ministry that we support that helps young ladies that making decisions about their pregnancy, whether they're going to carry it. They do pregnancy tests and they counsel women about pregnancy and they teach them how to be mothers and they help them get diapers and stuff like that. Then John 3:16, which is is a drug and alcohol spiritual boot camp in Luke 4:18, which they're right here and they're functioning on. By the way, don't forget to bring food Sunday morning for Luke 4:18. Okay? Family violence is another ministry that we support monthly. We support prison ministry. In fact, several of them are gone tonight to prison. And how many prisons do y'all go to? 6 different prisons that they go to. Every month we send support to make sure that they can do that. Ecclesia College, we support it every month. That's a kind of a new college over in Northwest Arkansas. It used to be YWAM, which was Youth with a Mission, and they turned it into a college. Larry Smith, who works with kids on the street in the Fort Smith area, the Alma, Fort Smith area. He brings them in. He teaches them to box. And they travel around and they box. And he has a ranch, and he takes them out there and loves on them. And they ride horses and all of that kind of thing. We support Dale Cohen, who is a missionary to the Gentiles and among the Jews. We support Jerry Savelle. And we're able to do that because we have people who are tithers and givers. And we want to continue to be able to do that. I'm going to have to cut this short. But let me give you some goals of what I want to do. Because I'm not thinking about decrease. I see what we have done this last week in cutting out some things, a necessary thing to do for a short time, that we take a step back, that we can step forward. Okay? But here's some goals that I have. I want us to become ARC partners, Association of Related Churches. We're a member, but we're not partners. And the goal of ARC is to plant 2,000 churches by 2020. As of yet, they have planted about 80 churches. In 2007, they planted 17. Yeah, 17 churches. That's a new church opening every 17 days. That's the ARC. In 2008, they planted 30 churches. That's one every 12 days on average that launches and opens. This is in America. This is in other countries. I want to be a part of that. I want us to be able to send 2% of our income to help plant these churches and be a part of that. And we're talking about $6,000 a year to help plant churches. I would love to see us, and ARC so far has raised, since its inception, $40 million to help in missions. I want to be a partner with them. I want this church to be an ARC church. Right now we're not able to do that, but I believe in the near future we're going to be able to do that. Because I think you need to catch the vision that I have in my heart so that we can go forward and do the things that we need to do. I would love for us to support the Watutu mission. This is an African orphanage that rescues kids from AIDS families. They have this children's choir that travels around and sings, but there's a lot of kids that live on the street because their mom and dad have died of AIDS, and many of those kids have got AIDS, and they take them into these orphanages and they take care of them, and they do it based on churches and ministries that support them. I want to be one of those churches. I want to be one of those churches that helps and things like that. There's the A21. That Christine Kane is involved with, that has to do with human trafficking, and a lot of this has to do with the young girls or young kids that are kidnapped and put in the sex trade industry worldwide, and they go and they buy them and rescue them from that. I think that's a worthy cause that we could be a part of, amen. And I'm talking about things that we could do worldwide. There's a need. There's a bunch of people in these third world countries that don't have clean water to drink. They drink out of the same stream that they urinate in and that their sewer runs into. There's wells that need to be dug. It costs about $4,800 to dig a well. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could dig a well every year in some foreign country so that a tribe or a group of people could have clean water to drink? You say, what has that got to do with the gospel? That's what the gospel's about. I'd love to have a dream center. I'd love to have a dream center here because of the problems that we have in this local area with people who are hungry, where we could feed a couple meals a day, people who are hungry, that we could help clothe people, that we could help house people on a temporary basis. I could see us having a dream center where we could offer things like after-school tutoring, financial services where we could teach people how to budget their money and how to handle their money. We might even have a Christian daycare. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have? I mean, these daycares have got waiting lists that are long. There's a great need for daycare. But you know what it takes? It takes a church with that vision. Oh yeah, I can see us doing that. Okay, then we've got to get our giving behind that too. We can't just say we want to do it. We have to be able to step out and do those things. So, and I'm just got started in this. We're going to continue this next week. But I want to challenge you. If you're not a tither, make a quality decision to begin to tithe. Give God that which is holy. You count it as holy because God counts it as holy. Maybe you give and you tithe sporadically. Become like clockwork. You'll be blessed. Can I ask you a question? If you want to, you don't have to participate. But how many of your lives have been blessed by tithing? Let me see. Look around. Look around. Tithing. So, well, that don't make sense. I'm giving it away. Wouldn't it make more sense if I kept it and invested it? You are investing. You're investing it in God's kingdom. And I'll tell you, the stock market don't affect God's kingdom. What's going on in the world doesn't affect God's kingdom. That's the best place to give it because there's such a return on it. Let me close and read the tail end of that scripture in Malachi. Here's what God said. Bring all the tithe, verse 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and prove me in this, says the Lord of hosts. He says, you prove me and see if it's not so. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. He says, you know what? They lived in an agrarian society where they were farmers. He says, you be a tither, I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your cattle. They're going to bring forth. Your land will flourish. And people will look at you and they will envy you because you are so blessed that they'll say that you are a delightful land. And we need to take stuff like that serious. There are some serious promises that are attached to tithes, offerings, and alms. There's different promises. There's a promise for the tither, there's a promise for the offering, and there's a promise for the alms. But it begins with the tithe. It doesn't begin with the alms, and it doesn't begin with the offering. It begins with the tithe, because that is where we begin to recognize that God owns it all. Amen? All right, let's pray. We'll continue this next week. Is this okay? Too bad, because we're going to. Father God, I'm not apologizing for teaching the Word. Father God, thank you for your Word on money and finances and giving. Thank you, Lord, that there's such promises that we have that if we'll be faithful to you and your kingdom in recognizing that you own it all. Father God, open our hearts and open our eyes that we may see the potential of all of this and help us to be obedient, to walk in it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, they're at the back door. God bless you.